that she had a tumor on her pancreas, and she just went nuts. She just got scared, afraid. She was crying, especially when they told her, you know, the operation is a very delicate operation. You know, we don't know what we're going to find. And that was the worst thing, you know, that they didn't know what they were going to find. Is the tumor completely inside the pancreas? Where is it? I mean, is it, you know, a pathological situation? They didn't know. But yesterday, she went into surgery, 11 o'clock in the morning, and the doctors found this tumor about 3 centimeters in length that was just sitting on top of the pancreas, just on the surface. It hadn't gone down deep into the pancreas. So the doctors were able to remove it. It was just like if it was just sitting there with no roots inside the pancreas. And they removed it, and she's fine. And she called us around 9 o'clock last night. She goes, God made a miracle. He did a miracle for me. Everything is over. It's over. So praise God, because one day everything is going to be over. Amen. You've done well with your sanctuary. This looks beautiful. I felt as if I was walking, when I came this morning, I felt like as if I was walking into the house of the king. Am I walking into the house of the king? Praise God. For those of you that are wondering, where is my accent from? Let me tell you, my accent is from the States. Because my accent was born in the States. The States. See, you don't understand me because I have an accent. And that's the whole purpose for having an accent. So when you speak, people don't understand you. See? And so people look at me and they go, what? Because they ask me, where's your accent from? I go, from the States. They go, what? That? Because when I was home in my country, I didn't have an accent. It was born when I came to the States. So I tell them, my accent is from the States. When I speak Spanish, I don't have no accent. Believe me. Okay, it's a wonderful day to worship the Lord and to be in His house, where we can behold His beauty and we can inquire of His temple and His sanctuary. Shall we pray before we begin? Amen. Father, we thank you so much for giving us health. Perhaps some of us have partial health, but we are here and we are singing and we are praising your name and we're listening and we are watching and we are talking and we are moving and we are breathing. What a blessing to be alive. And above and beyond everything, we have the Lord, the love of Jesus. We have a Lord that loves us. We have a Lord that moves with compassion towards us. And we have a God that has a tremendous, important, special plan for our lives. We ask you to bless us today. We ask you for the presence of the Spirit. We ask you to be our teacher. Take over. Tell us what you want us to hear. Change us, because we don't want to continue being who we are. We want to be who you want us to be. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. You have two wonderful friends of mine that are your pastors. Brian, Zach, Rose, and Leah. We appreciate these two couples very much. We love them, and we thank God that He called them into ministry. If you have a problem with them, come and tell me so that we can pray together for them. Amen. Some of you may not know what I do for the conference, but I am the pastor of your pastor. I don't know if you knew that your pastor has a pastor. And this is it. So I pray for them, day in and day out. I think of them often. My job is to keep them moving forward, being encouraged, being filled with the Spirit. And if they need anything, whatever they need, whether it be financial, emotional, psychological, spiritual, this is me and this is my wife with the help of the Spirit. My wife is my associate. Amen. In ministry. She doesn't get any money from the conference, but she works with me at my side 100%. Amen. So wherever I am, she is. And I praise God for her and her ministry. Okay, let's read Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, God is with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son. And he called his name Jesus. Engagement is a very interesting time in a person's life. It's a sweet time. It's a romantic time. But it's a very critical time. Because during the engagement time, you're supposed to be making decisions to choose a partner. To you're basically saying, okay, it is you. I'm going to stick with you through thin and thick. And this person that you choose is going to impact your life as nothing else is going to impact your life. And sometimes these people impact your life for good, and sometimes they impact it for bad. When we first got married, newlywed, my wife used to tell me, be nice to me, because I am your ticket to heaven. And I remember that. I used to, does she think she is? Mary Magdalene, or one of those nice women in the past that was so holy? What do you think you are? I thought she was my ticket to hell. Because every time we did something, she got me mad and angry and upset. So I thought, no, you're my ticket to hell. I'm not going to make it. I used to tell my wife, I will not make it to heaven. So when you get to heaven, you tell Jesus, hi for me. I thought, if this is supposed to be good and a piece of heaven on earth, I'm in trouble. But you know, I was full of myself. I was so full of myself. Because when you're alone, you think you are the best of the bestest. And when you're not from this country, you're allowed to create words. And that's the best part about being here this morning. But when you are obligated to relate with another person that is not you, because, see, if I would have gotten married to another myself, another like me, life would have been so wonderful. No problems. We would have just had fun and enjoy life to the maximum. No? Really? So I've been deceived then. Do you know, psychologists, they tell us that we marry a person that has the same emotional level that you have. In other words, if you are at 40, you know, EQ, no IQ, EQ, emotional coefficient, if you're at 40, you will attract somebody that is at the 40 level. Right. And you know what? It's true.
Amen.
So when you are in a partnership, this thing about go to psychotherapy because you have a lot of problems doesn't work. It's about let's go to psychotherapy because we got problems. So if you want to get married to a person that is healthier, you got to be healthier yourself.
Amen.
You got to grow to 60% so you can attract somebody that is at 60%.
Amen.
And then, of course, if you want to really get married to somebody that's very healthy, then you got to go higher.
Amen.
And we parents choose the mates of our children because we are the ones that feed our children. Through the relationship that we have at home, the quality of our relationships is going to determine the quality of the atmosphere of the home. And the atmosphere of the home is going to feed our children.
Amen.
So the healthier the atmosphere, the healthier our children. So we are going to be choosing, we have already almost chose, because our kids are gone. One in college, the other one is a senior in high school. Well, we pretty much chose our kids' partners for life, because we determine how high they went in the level of emotional coefficient. So no wonder in the time of the New Testament, parents used to prefix marriages. They used to choose, prearrange. Thank you so much. I thought I was going to be inventing words. So no wonder they were prearranging the wedding, the marriages, because they were able to see what type of home the kids were coming from. They were able to see the parents, the quality of their lives, their faith. Then, of course, when you're a child, when we are children, babies, everybody's cute, beautiful, and likable. So at that time, everybody got and was there with somebody. Easy. So here we see Joseph and Mary going through this stage where they are planning their wedding. They have decided, you are the one for me. Now remember, same level, emotional coefficient. You are the one for me. And I can see Joseph working hard so that he can make money to be able to have the wedding ceremony. And I can see Mary working and preparing the wedding ceremony, and I can see her just daydreaming, like all the girls daydream about their wedding date, right? So everything is, you know, getting ready, you know, it's becoming, and everything is being prepared. The food is planned, the reception hall is reserved, flowers, chairs, tables are all secured, remember? Everything is a go. We are ready to get married until God steps in and God messes up their plans. If you read in Matthew 1:18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before," and the key word here is, "before they came together, she was found with a child of the Holy Spirit." Before they were married. Now, Luke 1:34 says that the virgin asks the angel, "How shall this be, since I know not a man?" See, remember, for us, this is a fact. This is something that already happened. This is something that historically we know that it is possible. But at that time, the probabilities, statistically speaking, the probabilities for this to happen was that it was 0.0000%. In other words, for a woman to be pregnant without the intercession or the involvement of a man was unacceptable, inconceivable, and intolerable. So basically, Joseph decides to do what all of us would have done. Men, where are the men? So he decides to do what all of us would have done. He decides to bail out. But notice Matthew 1:19. It says there, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. How nice. And you don't expect anything else from Joseph. Because if God is choosing Mary as the mother of his child, we assume that Mary was the bestest of the bestest. Sorry for my English. But you get the idea. So therefore, if we marry people that are the same emotional coefficient that our partners, imagine the type of and quality of man that Joseph was. Amen. Right there. I'm not going to do harm. I'm not going to do anything. I'm a just, the Bible says, I'm a just man. Women, where are the women? Raise your hands. Would you like to know that the person that you're sleeping with is a just man? Would you like to know that the person that goes to work every morning is a just man? And you go, there goes a just man. How would you feel? How would you feel when you are out in the kitchen just doing your cooking and you think of your husband? You go, oh, I am married to a just man. Would you like that? Amen. Would you like that? So this is a just man married to a wonderful, spiritual human being that God has just declared, you are going to be the mother of my child. So, Matthew 1:19 says that he decides to go. But then the angel speaks to him. And the angel tells him, this is what's happening. This is what's going on. He wakes up. He decides to obey. And notice that it is Joseph that gives the baby the name, his name. Amen. Have you noticed that? Verse 25. 1:25, and did not know her until she had brought forth her first son, and Joseph called his name Jesus. If your wife would have been pregnant, would have become pregnant by another source other than you, would you have named this baby? What name would a Jew given to this baby? Nero? Adolf Hitler? Hitler? But Joseph was a quality man, a just man. He says, it's okay with me. You are messing up with my plans, but it's okay with me. So three things I want to teach you about this passage this morning. Not teach you, I just like to make some observations. Number one, God will never ask you about the plans he's got for you. He will simply tell you.
Amen.
You don't see in the Bible anywhere Gabriel telling Joseph and Mary, come over here, come to this corner. Let's talk. Let me share with you God's plans for your life. God wants your input. God wants to see how it fits with your program. God wants to see how you feel with his plans for your life. You don't find that in the Bible. You only find an angel that comes and is informing, basically takes time to let them know what is going to happen. And you know why God does this? Because God knows that every plan that he's got for your life, number one, is good.
Amen.
Amen. Number two is a just plan. And number three is a plan that is holy. Amen. Because God is God good, God is holy, he is just. So anything that comes out of God, it is good, it is just, and it is holy.
Amen. Amen.
So God is not going to apologize to you.
Amen.
God is going to come and give you what he's got for you, because what he's got for you is always good, it's always just, and it's always holy. And of course, what God brings to you always has three purposes. Number one, God's plans for you is for you, number one, to be good. Step number one, be good. And some of us have gotten there. We are good people. People tell us, you are a good man. Maybe your wife tells you, you are a good man. For my wife to say that, it took like 10 years. Maybe more. She says, maybe more. I wouldn't doubt it. But finally, I think she said it one day when she was half asleep. But she said it. And I write it down, June 29, 1999. She said it, half asleep, she said it. So God wants you to be good. And that's great when you become a good person. And most of us are good. Most of us, remember that. God says, now that you're good, I want you to be just. Go up one more step. Become just. I need for you to become a just person. By the way, while you are just good, Satan doesn't care about you. He leaves you alone. But when you decide to go the next step and become just, Satan becomes angry and mad because he knows you are going the right direction. And Satan says, I'm not going to let you be just. Being good was just good enough. Go back to be good. Just become good. Be happy to be good. God says, no. You got to be just. You have to become just. And then God says, once you become just, he says, good. 10 points. Brownie, you cooked it. Now you got to move on. This is not enough. You got to be holy. Because without holiness and without a clean heart, no one will see God. Are you waiting for God? Are you waiting for his second coming? Or he's waiting for you to become holy? And when you become holy, watch out. Because Satan is going to attack you left and right, up and down. Because he hates holiness. And people laughed at holiness. We are mocked when we become holy. So some people are afraid to become holy. They are so happy just to be good. Let me just be good. Or maybe just, but don't ask for more, please, Pastor. You know, don't. I am okay because I gotta have friends. And they gotta like me and they gotta accept me. And I gotta go around the world and I gotta be likable. Have you seen a holy man or woman lately? So the angel comes and tells Mary, Mary, I am going to mess up your plans, but the plans I have for you are better. You don't understand this now. See, we never understand God, and that's fine. The Bible already said it, Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My plans are higher than your plans. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. In other words, you are not thinking the way I think. You are not perceiving and processing things the way I do. So allow me to help you. Amen. So we find that God messes up with our plans time and again, because he wants something more of you. Amen. We were going to get married. And 4 weeks before hear the key words before. 4 weeks before playing soccer, I dislocated my elbow. So my elbow, instead of looking like an L, it looked like a Z. Just went out this way. Painful, 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 painful. 4 weeks before my wedding. My grandmother didn't want me, my grandmother, my stepmother, my suegra, my mother-in-law. See, now you know why my wife is here this morning. She translates for me. My suegra, she didn't want me to marry her. So I think she's going to be really excited, really happy that, you know. And the doctor said, I'm going to have to put a cast on it, and I will take it in about 7 or 8 weeks. I don't remember the time. 7 or 8 weeks. My wedding was in 4 weeks. I told the doctor, please, my wedding is in 4 weeks. Can you remove it before? I can't, sorry. Please, 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 please. I don't want to look like a battered husband before my wedding. You know, I want to look decent. Please. He took off the cast 4 weeks, 3 weeks early or 2 weeks early. Amen. Yes, amen, brother, because I look decent. The problem was when everything was done, she knew that my elbow had been dislocated. So she was, you know, she was hanging from my arm very tenderly. But when the members came out of church, and since you are not in touch with the Hispanic culture, let me illustrate to you, educate you. Very effusive, very affectionate, huggy-wuggy. They shake you. It looks like they are looking for your wallet. But they are not. Believe me, they are not. So they were coming to the door, just congratulations, and they were just shaking me, and they were shaking my hand. Congratulations, Pastor. Ah. And they were saying, oh, look how much he loves her. He's crying. He loves her that much. And I was saying, I'm not crying because I love her. I'm crying because my arm hurts. And I could not understand why is it that my arm had to be broken or dislocated for only 4 weeks before my wedding. And I had to believe that God's plans for me are always the best plans.
Amen.
That he's got for my life.
Amen.
That at the end of the story, he wants me to be good. He wants me to be just. And he wants me to become holy. Amen. He called Abraham to Moriah's mountain. He didn't explain anything. No explanation, no details. It was so unreasonable. It was so illogical. But Abraham, the Bible says, that he started walking towards Moriah. Come and sacrifice your only son. And just in case you forgot, you love him very much.
Amen.
And he is walking. No details. I many times wonder if I would have done it. I got 2 sons.
Yeah.
I need to understand that my sons are very special to me because my wife denied me family for 8 years. And I'm complaining this morning. She said that when we started dating, no children, no children, no children. And I am a very affectionate person, so I wanted kids. But before I go, I figured, you know, I looked at her. I was infatuated with a nurse that was making good money. Anyhow, never mind. Forget that. So I said, no kids, fine, no problem, no kids. But, you know, I was born to be a father. I wanted kids. So when they finally came, they became 2 sons.
Wow,
2 sons. And I had never had another male living in my house. My father left me when I was 2 months old. He left me with a mother, with 2 sisters and a grandmother.
Wow.
And an aunt that used to come by and visit with us. So there were always girls and girls around my life. I had never lived with another boy in my life. You know what it's like to have two boys around you now, all of a sudden? I mean, it was the greatest. It was heaven.
Amen.
So imagine God telling me, take your sons, walk towards Moriah, and kill them there for me. No details. No reason. No logic. But you know what Abraham did it? He was walking with his friend God, and Jesus was speaking to him constantly, and he was listening to his voice. And he decided, I got you. This is done by faith and by faith alone. Period. When God messes up with your plans, it's because your plans are not good enough for him. So Mary responded. Check this out. Luke 1:38. Don't go. Just listen. Luke 1:38. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. How beautiful. Forget my wedding plans. Would have been willing to say that? Okay, forget my wedding plans. Forget my dress. Forget the cake. Forget everything. Fine. Let it be as you say. I am just your servant. When was the last time you told God, I am your servant? Praise God for that. You remember the last time you told God? Okay, God. Okay. I'm done. I am your servant.
Amen.
Let it be as you say.
Amen.
When was the last time you went down to the floor and you knelt? But not just kneeling. Not just kneeling. I'm going to come over here because I want you to see this. See, God sometimes tells us, and he told me, hey, kneel down. Because I was being disobedient, of course. No, worship me. Worship me. Go down on your knees. Go down to the ground. So I ended up putting my head on the floor like this. And when I was like that, God said, who am I? Who am I? And I said, you are Lord. Who are you? And I said, I am just dust. I just came out of the dust. I am dust. So who's got the last word in this relationship? Who are you listening to? Your wife, your friends, or me? Who is your Lord?
Amen.
And I said, you are my Lord. What are you? Just a servant.
Amen.
So are you going to obey me?
Amen.
And I said, I want to help me because I don't know how.
Amen.
God's plans for your lives are the best, even though you don't understand them. Second point, God's plans for your life are not easy. They are hard.
Amen.
Just like we were saying this morning, patience. Give me patience, please. Surround me with nice people. Surround me with kind, sweet individuals that say yes every time I want to do something. Please, please, I want to have patience. Is that how you get patience? God's plans for your life are not easy. They are hard. Why? Why are God's plans for your life hard? Why is it life is hard? If I love God, if I'm following his commandments, why is it that Joseph that said, yes, sir, I will obey you. And she said, okay, Lord, let it be as you say. Why is it that things are getting from bad to worse for them? Because here they are now. An edict is pronounced. The king has said, go down back to your origins, your cities, and register and pay the tax. Could that have waited? Jesus, can you wait on that tax thing for about 1 month? How about 2 weeks? Let me take care of my wife. Let me just have her in a nice hospital where she will be taken care of, and then we'll do the taxes. How's that? Just give me one more week. One more week. If you notice in the reading of Luke, it says there that right exactly when the time came to be due, to delivered, just right. Where is she? She's walking. She's entering. Just right. Where's Motel 6? I need a secure place for my wife. I need a cozy place for my son. This is my son, my first one. This is the Son of God. I got to have a special place. Please. Where can I go with this baby? With this woman? No place. No place for the Son of God? I mean, donkey, camel, walking, very pregnant, and there's no place for her. Certainly, God can do better. Amen. And this is what we ask ourselves many times. Certainly, God can do better. Amen. Aren't I your children, your child? Isn't me the one that have committed my life to you? Why should I have to lose my job? Why should I have to lose my health? Why should I have to lose my children, my son, my husband? Why is it that my house burned? I remember a time when we had built a nice home, 5,000 square feet, in a 1 acre right there. It was just happening. You know, one of those things that God blesses you with. My neighbor was the chief of police. The other neighbor was the chief of the firefighters. The other neighbor was the owner of the Toyota. You know, so I lived in the best block of the city. And it just happened. I can tell you the story right now. And the day we had walked, the opened the house, and we were walking into the house, 2 or 3 days later, the house that we were leaving behind got on fire. On fire. And hear the joy of enjoying this beautiful house that we have built. We designed it. Just disappeared. Why? Why could have not God given us a month to enjoy the new property? Why now, 2 or 3 days later? Certainly, you can do better, God. Amen. We ask often in our lives. And then, of course, the manger. Really? A manger? Really, God? Really? Are you serious? I mean, we are walking within your will. We are doing everything that you want us to do. And you cannot provide a room, a bed for your son? Really, God? Is this how you treat me? Have you said that to God? Is this how you treat me? God's plans for you are not easy. They are going to be hard because time is moving fast. Like Jacob fighting against the angel had eternity to fight against Jacob. The angel had all the time of eternity to fight against Jacob. But Jacob was like one of those car tires whose air was going out. His life was ending, and the angel didn't have much time to fight against this servant of God. And many times, God fights you, and he wages war against you because you are not going the way that you should go. Amen. Because you're not doing the things that you should do. Amen. And he wants to call your attention Amen. To his plans. So we make mistakes when we think that life should be good for me because I'm God's servant. Life should be good. Jesus should treat me special because I love him. Everything should be smooth because I walk with God. I had my conversations with God this morning. Therefore, today is going to be an easy day. It doesn't happen that way.
Amen.
Jesus' life was a hard life. From the manger to the cross, from the cross to the grave, and from the grave to the sky, as the sun goes. Jesus' life was marked by hardships, thorns, and thistles. And in case you have forgotten, Paul's life was interesting, an interesting life. Going out of prison all the time. Out of prison all the time. Left for dead many times. Was stoned many times. And finally, execution. And every minute of his life after Damascus, he lived for the glory of God. But through hard times, Jesus tells us in Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the fire, you will not be burned. Neither the flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel.
Amen.
Life is hard. But God has said, I will be with you always.
Amen.
My last point, even though life is hard, things are difficult, God at the end of the day will bless.
Amen.
Because God always blesses.
Amen.
Check Luke chapter 2. Let's go with me. Come with me. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Luke 2, 52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men.
Amen.
Jesus grew up.
Amen.
Imagine the joy of watching Jesus growing up.
Amen.
Imagine being the mother of Jesus. Watching this sweet, loving, obedient, spiritual child growing up. Imagine the joy of Mary. Mary's joy, just watching him growing.
Amen.
When my son was about 6, he had a dream. And he came and he told me, Dad, I had a dream. I said, what did you dream? He says, I dreamed that I got married. And I thought, well, that's kind of early. He takes after his mother. And I said, well, so who did you get married with? He says, I married a special girl. He says, that's great. So what was special about this girl? Then he said, I married a girl who had Jesus in her heart.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. It blew me away.
Amen.
My son dreamed that he had gotten married to a woman who had Jesus in her heart.
Amen.
What a person to get married to.
Amen.
Somebody who's got Jesus in her heart. It was a pleasure to see my sons growing.
Amen.
They were not Jesus. But these two boys, thanks to my wife, she homeschooled them all their lives.
All right.
So they grew up around us. And these two boys, they are so sweet, they are special, they are my sons. So imagine Jesus growing up. Imagine the day when Mary began to see Jesus. Offering so much joy, love, kindness, hope to the hopeless.
Amen.
Imagine Mary seeing Jesus, watching him, offering forgiveness to the sinners.
Amen.
Imagine Mary listening to Jesus, telling this person, get up and walk. Go on and sin no more.
Amen.
Open your eyes. You're able to see. Imagine Mary watching all this joy and all this hope and all these wonderful things that this beautiful kid, son of hers, was doing in her presence. And at the end of his days, Jesus, my friends, opened up a door that was shut. And he went and became and went into the construction business because he opened up a freeway that went from the earth all the way to the sanctuary, to the most high, most holy place. And Jesus opened a highway so that you and I can walk right into the presence of the Father. And we can come and say, Father, forgive me because I didn't know what I was doing. See, that's what somebody said last week. When my wife and I, we were giving a seminar in Kansas City, Marriage and Family Seminar. And this man, whose wife had gone out with somebody else, and he found out that his wife had cheated on him, he came home and he beat her so badly, so badly, so badly. But in the seminar, he learned that he had Jesus, a healer and a savior. And his wife asked for forgiveness. And he said, if I would have known what you're saying today, I would have not treated my wife the way I treated her, if I would have known. So that's why Jesus said, come boldly to the throne of grace. So yeah, you can receive mercy and you can receive grace. Amen. In the time of need.
Amen.
There's not much time, but I want to read one paragraph with you. And I want you to come with me and read it along with me, if you can read it. Whoops, it's very small. But this is what it says. Is that better? Beautiful. This is what it says. Life is, read it with me, if you can see it. Life is disciplinary. While in the world, the Christian will meet with adverse influences. There will be provocations to test the temper, and it is by meeting these in right spirit Christian graces are developed. If injuries and insults are meekly borne, if insulting words are responded to by gently answers, and oppressive acts by kindness, this is evident that the Spirit of Christ dwells in the heart. The sap from the living vine is flowing to the branches. We are in the school of Christ in this life. Let's read it again. We are in the school of Christ in this life. Where we are to learn to be meek and lowly of heart. Amen. And in the day of final accounts, we shall see that all the obstacles we meet, Amen. All the hardships and annoyances that we are called to bear were practical lessons in the application of principles of Christian life. Amen. If well endured, they develop the Christ-like in the character and distinguish the Christian from the worldly.
Amen. Amen.
When God messes up with your plans, are you willing to let God direct your life? Are you willing to obey?
Amen.
Are you willing to follow?
Amen.
Are you willing to tell God, I am your servant?
Amen.
You are Lord.
Amen.
Let it be according to what you wish, Amen. And you have said.
Amen.
God wants to take you to heaven.
Amen.
He is in the business of becoming. He is becoming you.
Amen.
Sorry for my English. Jesus is in the business of becoming you.
Amen.
I apologize for my English. But I'm saying what I want to say. Because Jesus is in the business of becoming, or like my wife says, of transforming you.
Amen.
He doesn't care for you to have cars and houses and food. He cares for those things.
Yeah.
But his main objective is not for you to have fun in this world.
Right.
He
His main objective is for you to make it to heaven.
Amen.
And with that in mind, he may make your heart, your life very hard. And he may annoy you left and right. Because at the end of the day, he wants you to become, to grow,
Amen.
To be the man, the woman that your spouse needs, and the man and the woman that Jesus wants you to become.
Amen.
Shall we pray? It is late. We gotta go. Actually, we don't have to go. But tradition says that we have to go, so we are going to go, I guess. But we don't want to leave without telling you that we love you. We want to remind you again that we are servants of yours. So speak the word. Tell us. Teach us. The Bible says that the day will come when you will speak words behind our backs, telling us, this is the way. Walk ye in it. Don't turn to the right and do not turn to the left. And we promise you, because the Holy Spirit is in us, because at the end of the day, we want to go where you want to take us.
Amen.
Jesus, let your will be done in our lives
Amen.
And the lives of our families and children.
Amen.
Please, work in us, save us, transform us, change us, make us humble.
Amen.
We want to hear your voice, so speak loud. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.